Welcome to another episode of Island Turtle Talk presented by Balmy Spirit. I am Island Turtle. Welcome. It's been a hot minute since we've done an episode. I have also spent the last 2 hours trying to record this on many devices. It has felt like a very retrograde kind of experience, but even though it's way well over, even the post shadow is now done as the day that I'm recording. But here we are. I was determined to talk about this. I was determined to just get my experiences out there. Everything I want to talk about today is just some stuff that I've been observing within the collective and even observing within myself. In specifically, when we go through these sort of battles within ourselves, you could even say internal spiritual warfare is really like what I want to focus on. But there's also been this theme of mastering your sword, wielding your sword, even understanding what your sword even is, metaphorically, symbolically, etc. And there is some ties of that to the moon cycles that we're experiencing right now as well. So I want to get into that too. And so here we go. I'm hoping that the sound is okay for those who are listening on Spotify. We're rolling with it. This is how my relationship with technology is. We're rolling with it. But first, let's actually talk about the sword, because I feel like the sword is really important to even, well, actually, no, we're going to do the sword second. Let's talk about internal spiritual warfare. So this is, again, something that I've just been observing within myself and within the collective. We have been going through a very crunchy period of time, finally reaching the breath of September, where we can breathe a little easier. Things feel a little bit lighter. Things don't feel as heavy or crazy or tense or what have you. Restrictive is the word that wants to come through there. I do believe that Saturn square Jupiter, Saturn being in Pisces, Jupiter being in Gemini, has had a huge contribution to that, along with some really tough moon cycles that were coinciding at the same time. A lot of that was putting us in this realm of, I want to say, having almost too much access or even intrusion to what I've also just been calling collective fear. Now, for those who are new to just things I talk about or new to my content, I really try to emphasize a lot the power of connection and how powerful it is that we are just all one, right? And what we are experiencing internally, other people can sense or feel or have gone through or can relate to in some way, also can manifest externally, right? So I just want to make that clear before I go any further on this. But I feel like we have been traversing the realm of Gemini, and what comes with that is the fractals, the fractalization of truth, of identity, and of fear. And fear has been big. But I keep perceiving it and experiencing it and observing it as this intrusion, if you will, of just like these limitless ways you can experience not just yourself, but other people, your truth, other people's truth, your fear, other people's fears. And I've noticed that people who are particularly sensitive, who would consider themselves HSP, highly sensitive people, or empaths, or intuitives, or telepaths, telepathy's kind of been big, there's just been so much of a pervasive bombardment of these limitless fractals of fear. But the silver lining there is, with fear comes love, because it's a polarity, right? So if you have been experiencing just like this overwhelming, again, the sense of like limitless fractals of fear, a lot of it probably is not just purely yours, right? I do feel like it is a collective experience, but it probably also has been aggravating, exacerbating, or bringing up some of your own stuff. And it could have even been stuff that you have felt that you've really worked through already, but maybe it's still there. Or maybe there's also some further peace you can have an experience by moving through your own fear that could be exacerbated by some of this. But I do feel like it has also created this breeding ground for internal spiritual warfare, where we have started to become potentially confused, overwhelmed. Overwhelmed is the word that wants to keep coming through, of what is the truth, what's not the truth, what's real, what's not real. For some people, I've seen this manifest as like almost like a paralysis. Other people, I've seen this manifest as quite the opposite, where they almost are trying to like utilize the energy and like transmute it in the way of like being active or doing things, which is totally a great way to handle some of that energy. But everybody's different, and everybody has a different reaction to what they're experiencing internally. So with this internal spiritual warfare, it is, I feel like, also just another way of looking at it, is this way of like repeating, like playing out and looping on just fear, fearful narratives, maybe even some past experiences. For some people, that could definitely be a big thing of maybe realizing that there are certain fractals of you, because that's also what comes with fractals of fear and love and truth, is just fractals of you. And there's limitless fractals to everything and all of the realities of all things. But coming back, these fractals of you, you may realize that there have been some pieces of you, some fractals of you that have been kind of frozen in time, frozen in the moment of certain fearful experiences, traumatic experiences that are tied to any exacerbated pieces, fractals of you, right, that are being exacerbated by the pervasive, invasive, collective fear. You could even say shadow, but I feel like that doesn't really hit home, like what we're really experiencing. I feel like collective fear is really a big part of that. So if you are experiencing this, where these pieces of you are so exacerbated, so upset, so agitated, and especially if you're experiencing the looping, you may, if you allow yourself, you may have an opportunity here to venture down into what moment in time and space are you playing out. You may realize, one, it's not you at all, that it's just part of collective fear. You may realize, oh no, this is a piece of me exacerbated by collective fear. Let me move through that and remind myself, remind that version of me that I am not in that moment in time. I am very much in the present. And you can put that piece of you to rest. You can bring some harmony and peace. The word peace really wants to come through. I needed to say it again. Peace really wants to come through there, right? That's also just a practice of emotional regulation, self-soothing, and also practicing compassion. You can even look at it as parenting yourself for those where you're really exploring the realm of inner child dynamics and all of that, right? Or you may come to realize it's something entirely different, right? And then you can explore that as you need to, especially if it is not yours at all. Okay. When we get frozen in the past like that, in these moments in time, now I'm starting to open up the channel. The channel's opening up. I am a channel for those who are not familiar with me. Hello. This is just what happens when I go into channel mode. It's like a lot comes in and then I have to like parse through. This is also where you can practice what we all know of as soul retrieval. And that's all it is. Soul retrieval through one lens is pulling a piece of you that has been frozen or forgotten or lost back in. I think a lot of people associate it as lost, but these pieces that are frozen in time, they're not lost. They're literally playing on a loop, right? And it doesn't even have to be through the lens of the spiritual notion of that. It even could just be the fact that you are just realizing that you're having a neurological trauma response, right? And then you're just acting accordingly. Okay. Now, bringing love to this piece of self is also really important. I know we say that, and I think we say it so much that the meaning really can get lost. All that means is to have this moment of recognition that any fractal, any piece of anybody, right, that is distressed, not experiencing peace in some sort of way, is probably reliving or going through or playing a narrative loop of something that was painful or something that was scary or something that evoked fear. I think that stands to be true for all human beings, even if we want to view some human beings as just straight up bad, rotten to the core, evil, whatever, what have you. I do believe that there is inherent goodness in everyone. I do believe that. And I do believe we are a culmination of our experiences and how we choose to navigate our emotions and our psyche and all it is to be human. When someone is acting abusive or other, it's like the word what is escaping me at this moment. Abusive, I think, kind of covers a lot. If someone is behaving abusively, detrimentally, thank you. They said detrimentally. I don't even know if that's how you conjugate that, but detrimentally to themselves or to other people, it most definitely, most likely way more than not, is coming from a piece of them that is fearful or hurting or in pain from some sort of experience they had, or even if there's an ancestral component, because those things are passed down. That was another thing that wanted to be brought up earlier. As you are exploring these fractals and pieces of self that are frozen in time or quote unquote lost in time, and you realize one, it's not you at all, or you realize it is you and it's something you can work through about certain things that have happened to you in this life, or third, it actually is an ancestral thing that has been passed down and learned or just embedded in your body and DNA, and that's where body work and body wisdom kind of comes in. But coming back, so practicing this awareness of what it is to be human, including what it means to experience these painful experiences that everybody has experienced on some level. I'd be shocked if I ever met a human that has never experienced a fearful moment in their life or a scary moment in their life or a painful moment in their life. I would just say, are you human? I don't know if you are. Everybody has. Everybody has. And I think, you know, we need to be better about pretending that we haven't, right? That these pieces of ourselves are somehow tainted or bad or dysfunctional or wrong. Or they don't fit, they are just us. And that's how you actually can bring peace to that part of you, to calm that part of you and recognize that moment of time is over and that we are no longer reliving that, okay? That is working through spiritual warfare when we are not at peace with these parts of ourselves. I think even within the spiritual community, there has been just this really easy, like, how do I wanna say, umbrella approach of, oh, just shadow work, shadow work, shadow work. But I think it's important to practice this discernment and distinction of what that really means. And so I know that everybody also is like, when are we just going to be happy? Happiness is a choice, right? Happiness is a choice. You can always be happy in any given moment if you want to find something joyful, right? And if you are sad or if you are angry or what have you, that is okay too. That's also human. We can't be on 100% of the time. Life cannot be rainbows and unicorns 100% of the time. But when we have these moments of discomfort, pain, dissonance, emotion, it is the kind thing to do to sit with that. It's kind to yourself, but it's also kind to others, especially taking accountability for these parts of you that may have gone unchecked, right? That is you within your own spiritual warfare, if you allow these pieces of you to dominate your life, to continue to play on a loop and convince you that you're still in these moments in the past, right? Now, this is also where we start to talk about the sword, the mastery of the sword, the wielding of the sword, understanding what your sword even is. Your sword represents a lot of things. It represents your truth, first and foremost, your truth, but also how you navigate your truth, how you hold on to your truth. Or do you relinquish your truth? Do you not hold your sword at all? Do you not recognize your sword at all? How do you hold on to your sword, your truth, when you're also dealing with other people, right? That also comes through as how you navigate your own communication, how you navigate what you're perceiving in the moment. So again, also understanding like, the one of the pieces of me that is stuck in a different moment in time, who is having a really tough time with this conversation with this person, is acting up, and it's again the kind thing to do. I want to take away these like notions of like pressure and responsibility and integrity. Like integrity is kindness. Integrity is kindness. I think it's easy to not look at it that way, but it is. But it is the kind thing to do to recognize what is going on in those given moments of how you are wielding your sword. And are you wielding your truth from a fearful place? Because when we do that, we can have cutting words, right? We can also move into an illusionary perception where our sword is meant to give us truth. We can wield it in an irresponsible, unkind way to just perpetuate illusion, right? Right. Now, when it comes to wielding your sword, mastering your sword in terms of other people, you're picking up on other people's stuff. It's definitely from my HSPs, but it's not just HSPs anymore either. And I think that's something that the collective is on the verge, the brink of finally accepting as a mainstream understanding that yes, we are all connected and we do feel each other. We do feel each other. And those who are more open and connected to themselves can be more open and connected and feel other people way easier, right, than others. But the collective is catching up. The collective is catching up. And I think this recent wave of this intrusive collective fear and how those parts and fractals of the collective have been aggravating or reminding us of fractals and pieces of self is a testament to that, of the level of sensitivity that people, the collective, has now moved into of feeling each other. Getting ahead of myself. So as far as discerning what's you and what's not you, that's also where your sword comes into play. Because if you are holding your sword, your truth, you, I also want to say this is another manifestation or representation of even your soul, right? I'm hearing heart and mind, heart and mind, heart, mind, body, heart, mind, body, the connection of all three of those. They're showing it to me very similar to how I see like the tree within people, right? We have our roots and we have our branches. Our roots going from our solar all the way through our lower chakras and into earth. And then our trunk is our core, our center, even like the solar, you could say, and then reaches up to the upper chakras, the heart, the throat, the third eye, the ajna, right? And branches out to up into connecting with ether and everything that's all around us. It's not just a higher dimensional connection. It's also an extra sensory, this is just how it's coming through, an extra sensory connection of what is, even presently, in your center. Ooh, so many things coming through with that. Anyway, they're showing the sword to me very similar to how I see the tree within everybody. Everyone's got a tree, everyone has a sword. This is also a mastery of the elements, is also a mastery of the mind. This is also a mastery of air, ether, and love. This is just pure channeling that's coming through now. Sound is part of the sword, is what I just heard. Sound is also part of the sword. So there is a mastery of the upper chakras and the non-physical elements, along with the physical element of air. So air, sound, ether, love. When we hold our sword, when we are truly connected and centered with our sword, they're showing it to me, like in the body, how the tree is more all-encompassing of the entire system, the entire chakra system, right? The sword, they're showing it to me more from like the root up. Like if you're holding a sword, right? And you have like the base, what's the base called? Grip. Grip? I'm hearing grip, so I'm assuming it's called a grip. You have the grip, the handle. Okay, thank you. Grip, handle of the sword, the base, and then you have the actual sword. What they're showing me is the root is the grip. The root is, the handle, right? And then the sword protrudes up and out. It is a way of holding onto your sword, understanding what your sword is a way of holding your center, right? But it also coincides with the tree. The sword is also this connection, not just to self, but even to spirit, since it is also speaking to these upper chakras. Yes, yes, yes. So the more centered you are in your sword, your truth, connection to spirit and self, but they're really emphasizing the importance of the mind, with all of this as well, okay? When you're that connected and that centered, you can start to see and discern what is you and what is not you, especially when you do start to feel things or just get certain thoughts and you actually allow yourself to not run from them, not suppress them, not avoid. They just said avoidance has been really prominent. This came up recently too, I want to say on Patreon. Maybe it was YouTube, I don't remember. I do so many videos these days. The difference between distraction and avoidance, right? Sometimes distraction is just part of human, and just like part of being human, and a coping mechanism that sometimes we do need if something is just too much, and then distraction allows us to kind of take it in measured amounts, just take it in a little slower, digestible, thank you, in a more digestible manner is what they said. Avoidance is when we take distraction to a level of avoiding, of not going there, not allowing ourselves to surrender to whatever that discomfort is. So coming back, if you do have these like intrusive thoughts and feelings and it overwhelms you, to allow yourself to really master your mind, not in a way of pushing them out, but in a way of observing them and looking at them and even feeling them, because there is a full experience happening here of mind, body, Soul. Just the way channeling comes through sometimes. What feelings come up? What do you feel in your body? If you allow yourself to go there, you may start to actually like thank you. They said logic is important though. So let yourself feel, let yourself hear the thoughts, let yourself gauge how you're feeling in your body, how your body's having any sort of physiological reactions, but also logic things out. So for example, if you're having thoughts you've never had in your life, ever, probably a good indication to sit with that and be like, I've never had these thoughts. Why would I have these thoughts now? Is there someone in your life or around you that actually fits more of that description than you, right? It's like this is where the mastery comes in. Because I do think that that is very difficult for most people to do, but it's not impossible. And it's a skill that can be learned over time, right? Because you know who you are. This is also part of holding your sword, wielding your sword. Oh, they said we're getting to wielding. Okay. This is also part of holding your sword, right? Being able to hold yourself, right? You've known who you are your entire life. You know your own patterns. You know the pieces of you that are potentially still looping on the past. You know those parts very well. Do any of those parts fit with some intrusive thoughts you may be having? This is where you can distinguish you from them, right? Now, it is important to understand this is just like helping to discern how to hold your truth and your sword and yourself. But recognizing, yes, we are all a collective. And even if you have to go into that realm of recognizing the separation, where is the fuzzy line? I wanted to say boundary and they said fuzzy line. The fuzzy line between you and another person, because individuality is important, but again, we must never forget the collective as one and the impacts and effects we have on each other. It is important to never forget that. It is not a license. This is all channeling right now. This is not a license to forget yourself. This is not a license to sacrifice yourself. This is not a license to passively lose yourself to the whims of another person. A moment of silence was required. Literally just how they said it to me, for that to sink in. It is not a license for that. It is also not a license to diminish another, dismiss another, tear down another. I don't know if I said that. If I did, it just had to be said again. There's not a license for any of that. It's a license to just recognize. Recognize and observe. And act in integrity, which means acting with kindness and respect for self and respect for others. And of course, we will always have those moments where someone may be really in it, as we say. I heard as the humans say, as we say, someone be really in it, as far as really in their triggered parts of themselves that are frozen and in time and space. Okay. When people are there, a lot of times they just have to be there. And so there is that practice of kindness and respect of giving them the space to do that. But also you can do that with kindness, you can do that with grace, while also honoring the word that wants to come through. Integrity. Integrity of self, integrity of what it is to be human, and integrity of the heart. Thank you. They are confirming that this is also something that may continue throughout Mars retrograde. I'm hearing March. 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 March of 2025. Something about March 2025. That will be actually when the retrograde is over, but we'll be in the post shadow. I should probably look at that later. But March 2025 is coming up in relation to that. I feel like we're getting into some other channelings there. But let's come back to the sword, because again, there's also some other things that are tying to that as far as just like moon cycles and what have you. So with the sword, the other thing that was coming up is with the new moon Virgo, we did have some activity with Betelgeuse. Which I think is kind of funny, considering that Beetlejuice just came out in theaters. And it's like, I forget when the original came out. It was like 88, wasn't it? I think it was 1988. God, how many years is that? Oh, wait, it's not much older than me. Like 35, 36 years. Why does that feel like a Jupiter cycle? Oh, because it is. Because it is. Not important. Anyway, coming back. So Beetlejuice. Betelgeuse, for those who are unfamiliar, is a fixed star that sits in the Orion constellation. A lot of talk has gone on with the star Betelgeuse because it's had some interesting activity the last few years. One being that it has really drastically shifted in how much it has been dimming or how bright it is. It's one of the brightest stars in the sky, which is why we also pay attention to it. But it did go through a period where it started to dim and we thought it was going to go supernova. It didn't back then. I want to say that was 2019, 2020. Betelgeuse has also been going through some ecliptic phases with Leona, which is another, is it an asteroid? No, I don't remember if it's an asteroid or dwarf planet. With Leona, which is the female lion, there's also some interesting implications there. But anyway, we start looking at Betelgeuse on an astronomy standpoint because we do think it will go supernova relatively soon, which is kind of a big deal. That's basically when a star comes to you at the end of its cycle. And Betelgeuse is associated with war and carnage as an omen of war and carnage. But as it sits in Orion, it sits in the shoulder. Sorry, I was so in it. I'm like, when I get really in it, when I'm channeling, I'm just in the zone. Some people don't realize that. A lot of people go, "Are you reading off of something?" No, I'm in it. Anyway, coming back. So Betelgeuse sits in the shoulder or armpit, depending on who you talk to, of Orion. Betelgeuse is the guiding force behind the sword. Hence, how do you wield your sword? How do you master your sword? Are you even in touch with your own sword? And when I went to do the New Moon Virgo hangout on Patreon, so I do all the New Moon and Full Moon hangouts, I realized how much that was being emphasized. So there's that connection. But then there was another connection with Mercury that I was just so fascinated by the mythology and astrology behind this. But Mercury at the time was in Leo. Retrograde was over, but we were still in the post-shadow because we're talking about New Moon Virgo. That was September 2nd, for those who don't remember. Mercury was working with a fixed star that has very strong ties to Chinese mythology and astrology. I apologize in advance if I mess up the names. It just might happen, okay? But this fixed star, if I remember correctly, is pronounced Tianyi. Tianyi, I believe that's how you pronounce it. This fixed star has mythological ties to the three gods or the Trinity God in Chinese mythology. And specifically within the three aspects or fractals, if you will, of the Trinity God, there's the heaven one, there's the earth one, and then the third one is more in reference to this fixed star, that third fractal or aspect of the Trinity God, which is the one who dominates all things. It has a very primordial nature to it, and I think also really speaks to the underbelly of any repressed parts of the collective, which I think is starting to, or has been, not starting to, we've been experiencing it, but has been emerging into our awareness in this intrusive way through fear, through collective fear, because it's just the repressed parts of the collective, which this is where the shadow connection comes in. Right? And just because these parts are repressed doesn't mean they're anything bad, even in and of themselves. They're probably parts of the collective fractals of individuals, right? That became suppressed and were frozen in moments of time due to some sort of fear or rejection or negative, unpleasant consequence of indulging in that aspect of self, right? That's how these parts became repressed. So much coming in. Hold on, sorry, let me just circle back. So, with this part emerging from the depths of the collective, from the depths even of our own psyches, right? This is where it is time to master our swords and discern us versus what is collective, even though we are collective, right? Discern what is within you, what is truly coming from you to be dealt with, to be navigated, to be loved on, to be compassionately brought back into peace and harmony and balance with self, right? And also recognize that other people are going through that same experience. Give space where it's needed. Give love and kindness where it's needed. Give respect where it's needed. And while it is really easy for us as humans to judge and to criticize and get to a very angry, upset, stressed, scared place to judge other people, it is in the best interest of everyone and the self to be as kind and respectful and non-judgmental as humanly possible. Okay. Now, the astrology component to this star has to do with dragons. This fixed star sits in between Ursa Major and Minor, which is very cool. So it sits in between the bears, if you will. And there actually was activity with Ursa Minor as well with the new moon Virgo, which I thought also was really highlighting the emphasis of this particular fixed star. So this fixed star sits in between Ursa Major and Minor, again known as the bears, if you will. But in Chinese astrology, it is seen as the force that sits between death and birth, between yin and yang. It is a force that is meant to harmonize all things, encompass all things. So again, this sense of unity, oneness of the collective actually is, this is also just tying into the present moment of what we have all been navigating as a collective and individually, of having such an intensity of the repressedness of the collective come in energetically and emotionally. Thank you, Gemini, which again, Gemini, it really helps us to see and feel and recognize the limitless fractals of truth, of fear, and of love, and all things, and versions of self. I hope you guys are staying here with me. This is where we move into that mastery of the mind, right? And the mastery of wielding our sword to bring these pieces of self into a state of oneness. But understand this is also happening on a collective scale. Has this been happening for the in recent years? Yes, this is just the next level of intensity of it. This is digging up even older things than we could have even comprehended. Older? That's not the right word. They're saying that's not the right word. They're showing me like calcification. I guess that makes sense. They're showing it to me like calcification. Like we've been working for years, the collective has been going through these windows for years of like removing, slowly working through these like old calcified parts of the consciousness. Thank you. Right? This has been part of the, I don't even want to say global ascension. I feel like there's so many negative distorted connotations with that. But that's just part of what we've been moving through. This is just a very thick layer of calcification in the realm of consciousness that we're moving through. But coming back to the dragon part, because this is also, this fixed star represents the dragon, because it technically sits in Draco, the Draco constellation. And I love the feeling of that. I love the vibration of that. And I'm sure there have been dragon stuff coming up for everybody. But there has also been this theme that was coming through when I was getting into all the astrology at that time of training your dragon. So there's a training of the dragon, there's a mastery of your sword, which is really self and your own consciousness and mastery of your own mind. And the more that you find your center and ability to master all of this, move through all of this, not only is there a loving kindness, compassion, grace, and peace that can be found internally, but this is also just helping the collective tremendously. And anybody that knows you, anybody that is tied to you, you may have also been experiencing, they're saying, Gemini. So probably since Gemini season, I even want to say maybe the new moon Gemini, because so much around this is circulating around Gemini, or if you have strong Gemini in your chart, obviously. But if that calls out to you in some way, shape, or form, there probably has been a weird shifting in your reality in terms of people and connections and environments and belief systems, because we have been going through this very bizarre, almost dizzying, like funhouse hall of Amenti mirrors sort of vibe of being exposed and sensing and feeling and seeing like the limitless fractals of fear, which is also where we can find truth, but also will bring us to love. Okay. It's been dizzying. As they keep saying dizzying, dizzying, dizzying. There's probably also been some upper chakra stuff going on there. Anyway, getting really caught up in the channeling. I want to come circle back. So, however you're training your dragon, however you want to see that, the way dragon's been coming up in all of this, I've been seeing dragon as these frozen aspects of self, of the collective fear, right? That while there are pieces of us that are frozen, they are also in the same way. How do I want to say this? They are also the pieces that lash out, that want to tear down, want to judge, want to criticize. They are one and the same. Because what the thank you, the frozen piece is really the frozen piece of love. It's really the frozen piece of love. So the polarity that's manifesting as that is fear, fear-based behavior. these are pieces of us that are that have been protecting us, have been guarding us, right? We like to say that the ego is not bad, and it's not. It's not. It just is. It just is. But also recognize that sometimes the ego comes with the frozen love, the frozen pieces of love in that moment of time of trauma and fear and whatever was happening. That piece stays frozen. But the active force is part of the ego, but it's us protecting ourselves, right? So again, coming full circle, that is the dragon energy. So to master your sword and to train your dragon is to recognize the dragon aspects, if you will, that are doing this, that are engaging in this way. They're going to directly show you what piece of you, what piece of your love is frozen and wants to be thought out. Because that piece of love that's frozen, that piece of you that's frozen, is hiding behind fear, is hiding behind this way of protecting the self. The dragons will lead you there. That needed to be said. But to unthaw that piece of you, that piece of your love, you need to meet it with love. You need to meet it with warmth. You need to meet it with compassion and gentility and kindness and respect. And you can start to reclaim that piece of love. I think that concludes an internal talk episode today. So again, a lot of just straight channeling happening there, but I'm glad I finally was able to record this in some way, shape, or form. And I hope that this has been supportive for you guys, and I'm looking forward to doing more. I feel like there's something else that needs to be said here. I wish you luck in your journeys. And as this comes out, there probably is a conclusion that's probably resolution. I'm hearing resolution. There's probably a resolution that's happening for a lot of people in the in all of this realm of stuff that I've been talking about. But if not, I hope this has helped you quite a bit. Okay, I'm going to go. But again, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Don't forget to check out the website, socials, Patreon, Vimeo, all that stuff. And I will see you guys later. Okay, take care, guys.